Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
Well, happy weekend and hello. Welcome to another edition of Focus on Community. I'm Frank Rush. Don't forget, if you missed any part of today's show, you want to hear it back, download it, stream it. You can find it as a podcast right now on our website. Our guest today, Tammy Silverman from the Indiana Youth Institute. Tammy, how you doing?
I am good. Happy December.
It is the holiday season, and that's one of the things you wanted to talk about today, and it's the subject of your new column. By the way, you can find your column on the website, iyi.org, right?
You got it. And, you know, it's entitled Still Home for the Holidays. And the idea is, like, thinking about how our kids are going to show up and what kind of a holiday break are they going to have. Obviously, everything's different, and your kids are likely going to be a little frustrated with that. And so there are ways that we can frame it and things we can do with them to make it a little more enjoyable.
Well, you know, you stop and think of the way things are right now. There is a lot of things are going to be different. We're not just fixing one or two little inconveniences here. I mean, there's a lot to get fixed.
You're right. And we know that, one, kids don't understand a lot of that, right, depending on their age and where they are. And so their normal reaction, and perhaps for many of us, is that they're going to be disappointed. They might be sad. They might be frustrated. And they might be downright angry about it. And, you know, all of those feelings are completely normal. And as I said, probably some of us adults have had some of those feelings about how things are changed this year for the holidays. And so, you know, really making sure that we give kids space to express those feelings, like, we, you know, it still doesn't mean they shouldn't be respectful and all those things, but understanding that those are all normal reaction feelings to everything that's going on.
And figuring out just what to address, because it's not just the fact that, okay, you may not go over to grandma's or grandma might come to see you or whatever. You know, the big family get together may or may not happen. You may or may not go shopping for Christmas gifts. People may or may not go shopping for Christmas. I mean, and then you've got school that's not happening or is happening or is kind of happening. How do you know what to try to address first?
Yes, it's the perfect question. You know, really trying to have a conversation with your kids and your family to say, what's most important to us? Maybe you do six different things, usually around Christmas. Maybe you bake the cookies and wrap the presents and go to this and go to that and go to that. But maybe your family really only likes two of those things. Maybe the rest of them they do, and maybe they're okay with them. But really saying, what's most important to us, right? Like, what's the most, and then figure out, is there some way to preserve some component of that, right? If it now, you know, that may not be entirely possible, but really scaling back and saying, let's just think about it for a minute. Because I think so many times this time of year, we're all so busy with a lot of activities, some of which are really meaningful for us and some of which might just be busy things.
Well, and you know what, trying to address that, now here's the thing that just kind of popped in my head, and that is I'm trying to think about how to really phrase this. I mean, how much of this is going to turn out to be a double or triple learning experience, teachable moments, so to speak? Because it's like, okay, one of the things that kids may get a little upset about is that Christmas morning under the tree, the presents may be a little thinner because the folks, whoever you're related to, don't get to come over and bring it. You know what I'm saying? And then, okay, yep. But then do you want to teach that as this really isn't all about presents? I mean, well, that's kind of a double whammy. I mean, they're pretty upset. I mean, depending upon the age of the kid, the younger they are, obviously, the more this will be a part. They're upset at the fact that they're not getting the presents that they normally get. And then all of a sudden, well, it's all because of the pandemic. And you try to teach them that that's not what it's all about, is getting the presents. I mean, come on. How much?
Right. How much can you expect them to process?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And again, it depends on their age. So what you need to do, what's the best case scenario, is when they are frustrated, you know, again, we don't get to do that. We don't get to open presents with our cousins or whatever that might be. Say, absolutely. Like, I know, I'm really frustrated too. That makes me upset. If that's true, don't say it if it's not true, right? But, but, you know, validate those feelings. And maybe not right at that moment, say, you know what, you really need to learn the bigger lesson. Because at that moment, when they're sad or frustrated, they're not going to process that. But you can circle back to that and say, you know, I know you were really upset about that, and I get that. And at the same time, let's think about, what is this really about? Is it really important that you have, you know, it's probably not really important that you have seven gifts. it's okay that we just have two, because we need to think about that, or one or none, right? Like, it's more about the time, you know, we are getting to spend time together. We are trying to do things to stay healthy and those kinds of things. So you don't have to save that lesson. You don't have to forge forward with that lesson right in the moment when they're upset. In fact, that's probably not going to work out really well for you, but you can circle back to it at a future time, not too far down the road.
And okay, so you don't get to spend time with some family members. I don't care what you say. Maybe it's just because of my age, and I don't get it the way the younger kids do. And I'm really starting to sound like my grandparents now. But it's like, okay, FaceTime and that kind of stuff, Google Meets on Christmas morning. I'm sorry, it's not the same, but I guess it's better than nothing.
Well, and that's up to each family to decide. Maybe it is. I know after Thanksgiving, our family had 3 Zoom interactions on Thanksgiving, and a couple of them worked, were kind of chaotic, and one of them worked fairly well. So figure out, one, we're sitting there like, we're not doing this again, right? Like, quit it on you. Like, we're not. And so figure out, did it work well? Are there some that it does work well? Some you might just want to pick up the phone, right? Maybe some you just, depending on the age of your kid, maybe they want to send them, draw them a picture and put it in the mail. Just because everyone's talking about doing Zooms doesn't mean you have to do that, right? If that doesn't work for your family, figure out what does work.
Well, I got a thing too, that maybe the kids are getting a little sick of it, because depending upon where you live at, they've been doing Zoom going to school, or Google Meets or whatever platform that their school system happens to use. I got to think that the kids are probably getting a little bit sick of it.
And they might associate it with school, right? I mean, that's the other thing that we got some great research around. Just because break, and we do want it to feel like a break, and everyone, I think, needs a break and wants to rejuvenate and that kind of thing, doesn't mean it's a free-for-all for your kids. So, no, you don't want it. You don't need to come up with some learning schedule for your child. But at the same time, they can read, and they should be reading. They can help with baking, which helps with math and science skills. If you having them do the measuring and talk about those things, there are ways you can keep kids' brains involved without it being, we're gonna try to replicate school, because everyone needs a break from that.
Well, yeah, they do. And that's what you got to have to figure out, exactly just how much of a break and what is really a break, because in some cases it may not be. You may think you're giving them a break, but maybe you're not, because we talk about the meets and all that kind of stuff.
You're right. And one of the biggest ones that I think is easy to forget about is actually kids thrive on schedules. And so if you think, they won't tell you that most often, and they don't identify that, but saying you can do whatever you want sometimes can be a little disconcerting, particularly when it comes to like sleep schedules. So you might want to ease up a little bit. Maybe if they usually get up at 7, they don't need to jump up at 7 every day. But it also, you should still have some sort of expectations, because actually not doing that gives them a sense of more discomfort and uncertainty. And that's not helpful right now in particular.
I know that, we're mainly talking about the holidays and dealing with that and kids. But with the fact that now there's a vaccine out, and the kids, really, for the most part, the younger ones won't be getting it. This is mainly for the adults and that kind of stuff. How much prep do we need to kind of do with our kids to kind of focus their attention? Hey, there may be a light at the end of the tunnel with all this. How much do we explain, and what kind of questions are they going to have about this?
Yes, and I apologize, because I feel like I'm being a broken record. It depends on your kid and the age of your kid, right? Yeah. If they're asking questions about it, you don't want to say, don't worry about that. That's not going to affect you. Brushing them off just really irritates them, right? And doesn't give them that sense of information. If they're curious, if they said, hey, everybody, I hear this is going on, a lot of them will have questions. When are we going to get the shot here? Are my teachers going to get it? Are they, does this mean if grandma and grandpa get it that we'll be able to see them again? And so if they have those questions, talk through it. Answer them honestly and directly. If they're not curious about that, if they don't, you don't need to have a big family powwow about the vaccination rollout plan.
This is something that's kind of piqued my interest a little bit too. Indiana Youth Institute, you guys study this stuff all the time, and I got to think there's a lot of other folks out there that they don't spend their life studying things like you guys do. But dealing with kids and the fact that nobody wants to admit that they haven't got a clue as to what's going on. You know,
right.
I mean, let's face it. When it comes to this, it's all new ground. We're all kind of lost in this together. But, you know, you don't want to admit to the kids, I haven't got a clue. But that's not a bad thing to say to them either.
You're right. It's okay to say we don't know. Here's what we do know. You know, it's usually not an absolute, right? It's okay to say, I don't really know about that. That's a great question. We're probably going to have to wait a little while to get that answer. That's not something that we can just look up. However, if there are things you do know or things you can look up with them, do it, right? And it's okay to not have all the answers. In fact, most kids know that. They're going to ask the question, but they know nobody has all the answers. They know that.
Well, and that's the other thing, too. I realize you guys, of course, mainly study kids, but this is where the adults come into play here, because no adult likes to sit back and say, you know what? I haven't got a clue. You know, I mean, admitting that you just don't know what you're talking about or you don't know what's going on, that's hard for parents. And I guess there has to come a point in the parents' lives where they're dealing with their kids where they have to realize it's not a bad thing to admit I'm not perfect, and that's something I don't know.
Both of those things. Those are huge points, and I would say they're almost two separate ones. Yes, we don't know. You know, there may be folks out there that do know. I don't know. Maybe we just don't know entirely. You know, all of the when was the vaccine going to be available, there were a lot of people that didn't know for a long time, right? And it's okay to say that. The other thing is I was wrong. I made a mistake. That kind of thing is hard. And yet doing both of those things sets a good model for our kids and says, if we're mature enough to say, I don't know, and it's okay not to know, that gives them permission not to know. Also saying sometimes, well, I thought it was this and I told you this, and you know what? I've learned now that that wasn't fully accurate. Here's the updated information. Also lets them know it's okay to go back and correct yourself and to own up when you got something wrong or you made a mistake.
And to kind of circle back around to the holidays a little bit, you don't want to get yourself caught in a pinch where you overpromise, because since we don't know what's going on, don't necessarily tell your kids, don't worry, this year's going to be a little flaky, but next year it'll be all back to normal again. Well, we hope. But
you're right.
We don't know.
Hang on to that. That's 100% true. Do not. And again, the other thing, first and foremost, absolutely, because we don't know. And if you say that, you can say we hope it does without causing alarm, or we think it will, you know, those kinds of things. Second of all, kids have a pretty strong monitor for false information.
You mean I don't know if I can see it on the air, but they have a detector.
Yep, that's what I was thinking too, not saying it, but they know that. And so actually when you make those kind of vast sweeping statements, they hear it as, I don't know if I can trust them. I know that's not true. You know, they know when that stuff is just fluff and baloney. They know it. And you don't want to be caught in that, right? So it's better to be straightforward and to say when we don't know it, it's better to say, we hope we'll find out. We hope so. Those kinds of things are just more authentic and genuine. Kids pick up on it. And let's be honest, adults appreciate it too when you're a little more straightforward.
Well, and the other thing is, Susie, you don't want to make yourself out to be a liar. I mean, you want them to trust you. And the way you do that is to make sure that when you tell them something, as best as you can, you make sure that what you tell them, they find out is truthful. Because if they figure out that you lied to them, well, you pretty much shot your credibility right there.
You got it. 100%. And they're going to call you on it. Either they're going to walk away and say, gosh, they don't know what they'll get to an age where they'll call you out on it. And so again, it's better to be straightforward. It's better to be upfront, particularly, you know, this time of year, it's also, we need to pay attention to the hardships that are around us and that may have directly impacted your family and your kids, but it might not have. And so you need to still talk to them about, you know, this year is hard, and it's been hard for a lot of families. Some of them have actually lost a family member. Several others might have lost a job. They might be stressed financially. You know, it's important for kids to have some sense of the world around them. They don't, again, we don't need to make it their issue to solve, because it's not a kid issue to solve, but just making them sensitive and compassionate and trustworthy. I think at the end of the day, those are all the things we're talking about.
And you can, like I said, you can all kind of learn together. And that's just how you teach your kids. This is life. It's adverse, you know. Adversity is something we all have to deal with, and now you're going to get to learn firsthand how we deal with major adversity.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the more you can frame it exactly like that as a learning opportunity, like we're going to learn through this, and it's not going to be comfortable, and we're not going to 100% know what's going on, but we can model that it's important to approach it in the right way mentally. It's important that we pay attention to the connections we have with one another and all of those kinds of things. It's going to be better off for everyone.
Teachable moments with Tammy Silverman from the Indiana Youth Institute, you know?
Hey, I think you got them all. I mean, I know that, and again, you know, you don't have to make, over the holidays, I would just say, you don't have to make a big production of things. Oftentimes, kids just want you to spend time with them, and you might have to tell them to turn off the screens to do that, but, you know, hanging out, watching a movie, going for walks, shooting some hoops, playing a game, you know, those things don't take a lot of advanced planning. They don't take a lot of money. But really, kids treasure those moments, and they're still valuable, even though they might come, you know, they might grumble a little to get them into it. At the end of the day, they do appreciate those connections and that time investment.
I mean, you can turn off the screen. That's not a bad thing, because chances are a lot of these kids have been spending a little bit too much time in front of a screen of some kind or another. They're probably sick of it by now, so they're probably looking for something to kind of change their focus and not be in front of a screen.
Yes, but they might not tell you that. They might not self-identify it. When you make it happen for them, they often appreciate it.
And that's because we adults are smarter than they are, and we just must take advantage of that, right?
Absolutely. We need to act like adults, right, and move forward with what we know is a good idea.
Tammy Silverman for the Indiana Youth Institute. Lots more information on your website, right?
IYI.org. Absolutely.
Happy holidays. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you again next year. And that's it for this week's show. We've got it all for you as a podcast right now on our website if you missed any of it. And we'll see you next weekend.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.